Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT. We love our Aussie bowlers here at JBT, so we'll be discussing whether Matthew Dellavedova can somehow put Cavs back in the playoff race. Are the Lakers really set to sign Carmelo Anthony? And who is in a worse spot, Houston or San Antonio Spurs? We'll be chatting Joel's MVP chances, Kyle Lowry's relationship with Masai Ujiri, and Robert Covington's chances on taking out Defensive Player of the Year. So shut up. Sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. From wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today in my lovely boudoir. Bedroom.
What?
It's boudoir, but sexy. I mean, bedroom, but sexy. Brain, function, it's showtime. Jack Manuel, how are you, mate?
Put on some pants, Nick.
I'm wearing extremely short shorts.
I feel like I've said this more than once on an occasion for you to put on pants when we
this
are recording.
This is great. This is like a job, but I'm wearing pajamas.
I mean, you're lucky.
I mean, I don't get paid for it, so it's not a job at all.
I mean,
but I get to wear pajamas.
Volunteer work is still work, Nick. But we are an audio platform. You're very lucky we are not on any
I am
other.
Atrociously... I'm just... My hair's a mess.
Hair's not too bad.
Oh, thank you. Your hair's shit.
Thanks, mate.
My name is Nick Busink. And, mate...
Yeah?
Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
It's out.
I've been playing...
It's right there.
I'm actually... hopefully people aren't listening that employ me. But on some lunch breaks at one of the schools I work at.
Which shall not be named.
No, I'm definitely not naming it. God, no. We've been playing Mario Kart on lunch break. And man, Mario Kart's so
Mario Kart 8, yeah.
So
it's really
fun.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll definitely be bring it over next time you're... Maybe if you aren't coming over Christmas or...
It's not even mine. You'll have to consult my brother. But I've been playing it on his Switch. He's connected in my room because I've got the TV and the setup and the sound, but all of that good stuff. Benefited me greatly. It's such a fun game. I was playing it before you came here. It is...
Kirby?
I'm not a huge fan of Kirby.
I'm a massive...
I feel like this is an off-topic.
Yeah.
This is an off-topic. We'll save
this. If we have time today, depending on how much we waffle on, as we always do, we may just...
We will see right at the end.
Off the topic
we'll see
of
how
the
we
flight.
Go. All right. A few ways you can get in contact with us here at JBT. You can contact us on Twitter individually at TheJManJBT or at JBTNick. We are also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network, a news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you go on Twitter and follow them as well at OTG Basketball. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like and a follow there. You can hit us up on email where we'll read the show emails on the show. jbtpodcast@gmail.com if you've got any questions, potential off topics, anything really. Anything you want to add to the show, let us know. All right, we'll kick off here, mate, with some Busick Benwell scale.
Yes, we will.
For those of you who are new, this is a JBT created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. Because we have our Mystic Fortune ball out. That's not a thing.
What are you speaking about?
You know the mystic, the fortune-telling ball?
Yeah, but
the crystal ball.
Your words.
Crystal ball, Jack.
Are bad.
Crystal ball.
Okay.
We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact.
I didn't know if anyone could make Busick Benwell more confusing,
but
you somehow did it.
Find a way. Matthew Dellavedova, mate.
Yes.
Aussie man.
Yeah, he is.
The reason Cavs got that ring.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% NBA champion.
LeBron who?
I mean, exactly.
Kyrie who?
It's all about the Dally. Have you got Dally shoes? Dally shoes are sick. Anyway,
have you
I
got
don't. Matthew Dellavedova will make the Cavs a playoff contender in that recent trade.
Fact.
Hashtag fact.
I mean, they've already won a game against your Wizards. Are you going for the Cavs now?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Go for Dally, mate. Dally's clearly a better point guard than John Wall.
Colin Sexton, there's some good assets there for the future.
Thoroughly outplayed your boy John Wall.
I don't know, man. We got Sam Decker.
Sam Decker.
Anyway, I'm sure we will get to that trade.
He's a Trump lover.
Oh, God.
It's no, we're not getting to that trade because it's part of this. Oh, okay. So we'll discuss it within
the general scheme of things.
Obviously, they're not going to be a playoff contender, but they did win a game, so cool. Delhi's already done his job.
I think they've played two games since the trade.
Really?
Or is it just the one?
No, I think because they probably played two games, but he only just arrived in Cleveland and got
it. Doesn't matter. The second the Delhi is mentioned with the Cavs, they start winning. There is something there, mate.
Absolutely.
There is some merit there. But of course, this is a hashtag alternative fact because Matthew Dellavedova will not make the Cavs in playoff contender as much as we will it so.
Yes. but there is a piece on OGDBasketball.com, my boy Jeremy Fried, sort of going into detail of how this benefits both teams, sort of focusing on from a Cavs perspective and obviously them getting the first rounder from Milwaukee or a future first rounder, whenever that conveys, obviously. And then also Phil Milwaukee provides them some adequate cap relief, also getting rid of John Henson. So whether that gives them more space to sort of maybe re-sign a Chris Middleton to a long-term contract and not be a luxury tax team.
They did pick up Smith's contract, though.
Who?
Jason Smith.
Did they get Jason Smith?
I think they did. That's why we got Sam Decker.
Oh, right.
Is that... three-way deals?
Six.
Always confuse me. I mean... It's like this play... It's like a... Yeah, it's...
Nick, we've never had a three-way in our lives, but I can barely...
It's a rarity.
Yeah, I can barely focus on a onesome, let alone a threesome. But yeah, I know you guys did, and there was obviously the finagling of the deals. Basically, Milwaukee get cap relief. If you want to go to Zach Lowe or Jeremy Fried on OGDBasketball.com. They break it down very thoroughly. But it benefits, and it also gives some minutes to another Aussie, Thon McKerr, because John Henson, obviously, who is that probably the backup, but now Thon probably can establish his role a little bit, which would be, I think, is going to be beneficial for him and the Bucks going forward. But yeah, the cap relief is what you get. The first rounder, if it ends up conveying that or turning into 2 second rounders, depending on the future. I heard someone even bring up the fact that it may even have the space to go after another free agent if they were to renounce the rights of a guy like, Bledsoe and Snell and stuff. And someone even brought up like a Kemba Walker, which would be Kemba, Chris Middleton, and Giannis. That's probably a top seed with Toronto. But what are your thoughts on the trade, mate? Is Sam Decker, the Trump lover himself, going to change things?
He is the saving grace of the Wizards. I don't know. We lost to the Cavs today.
Sam Decker clearly wasn't out there.
John Wall with 1 point. This whole thing is just sort of collapsing in. We lost a pick because of it. I think got off of Jason Smith's contract. I think you may have linked this to me, or it might have been on a Wizards page. The 2016 massive boost to the salary cap, and everyone went and signing free agents. We signed Jason Smith, Jan Mahimny, and there was someone else who was on like 20. Jason Smith was like 20. Yeah. Jan Mahimny was on about 20 as well, just off the top
16
of my head.
I think Jason Smith was on 20 overall.
But when everyone else was spending their big money, those are the people who we were spending it on.
I think, did you get Otto Porter that year? Or was that last year?
Oh, I'd need to look. I'd need to look at ESPN.
Either way, Wizards suck.
It doesn't matter. The
we
point
know
is,
that.
We squandered that money, and it's come back to bite us in the ass now. So.
Yeah. We've talked about Ernie Grunfeld at length, but
it's sort
I
of
do.
Like a-
I do
love trade,
and
us.
Hill was traded as well. We've got to mention George Hill, and I think he can. He's a nice, sneaky, nice fit in Milwaukee as a sort of backup guard. I think. would you still start Brogdon ahead of him? I probably would.
I would.
Chemistry issues,
definitely,
and form wise.
Good old Georgie boy.
Georgie boy.
Gives that nice veteran presence that they tried to give at the Cavs.
Yeah.
He was asked a hell of a lot at the Cavs. When he was at the Kings, was it the Kings before the Cavs?
It was, yep.
Shooting the lights out because he was asked to do...
Everything.
Most things. I mean, yeah. He's a good serviceable player. He's 2 years older from that point, but I think he can be very useful at Milwaukee.
I can't remember if it was his or someone else's, but I think his contract is only guaranteed for $1 million next season. So if they want to keep him as well...
It's pennies, mate.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the finger thing, is the luxury taxes.
Hey, that's actually pretty good. Well done, mate. Speaking of players, not
good segue.
Acquiring Carmelo Anthony will ruin the Lakers winning momentum.
100% hashtag fact.
Yeah. Not a Melo fan. LeBron is.
I am not a Melo fan. I've made that very known.
You have?
In all of my... Like, these old players who still think they're top shit, like Kobe. I mean, we're not going to talk about Kobe.
Please, no. Don't get me angry.
But it was a similar thing with it's the same thing with Carmelo. They think they're top shit. They get into the twilight of the years, and they're just not good.
Nah.
They're not good shooters.
He's bad.
He bad. He is a negative on defense.
His face is
bad.
Bad.
He is a negative on defense, and...
Is there something more than a negative? Like, is there, like, some, like, mechanical physics term that you know that, like, what's, like, the sub-zero negative? What's, like, worse than negative?
Well, if we're talking degrees Kelvin.
Here we go.
Degrees.
Here we go.
There's, like, a degree Celsius, which is 0 degrees is when water freezes.
We have
freezes.
A lot of American listeners, Nick. Put it in a
0 degrees Celsius. I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit. Is it 32?
Maybe.
32 Fahrenheit when water freezes? Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, it's 0 in Celsius because Celsius makes sense.
Yes.
Sorry. Fahrenheit makes no freaking sense whatsoever.
And all of our American listeners just tuned out.
But then there's absolute 0, which is negative like 400 and something degrees,
okay,
which is 0 in Kelvin.
And that's mellow on deep.
Mellow is 0 degrees Kelvin.
I mean,
is absolute 0.
I mean, I just go by Andre 3000, what's cooler than being cool, ice cold. That's basically mellow on defense.
Yeah, he's going to ruin everything that the Lakers are trying to build, and
I think
it was more... Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they won today against the Grizz by like
big
25 points.
Big win.
Yeah, massive. I am not a huge fan of the Grizzlies court, by the way. It looks very high school court.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
I was watching the game today. Anyway. Magic and Pelinka would be crazy to...
It'd have to be like...
Give any merit to these thoughts that LeBron is saying. I think LeBron's just saying it, be like, hey, I'm your mate. I think you'll be serviceable. And then deep down, he's going to the front office and be like, do not sign this man.
I mean, basically, it's how you got the job on JBT. I kind of like you. I think you're pretty cool. And, you know, 3 years later, we're doing pretty well.
And I'd like to think that I'm dragging the whole podcast down, so it's exactly the same situation.
I think, yeah, but if you look at Melo in Houston, obviously Houston have their issues, which we will discuss a little more in-depth later in the episode. But, you know, he's proven that he is a negative asset generally everywhere. I mean, we spoke about the fact that he would be best on, like, a team that wants to tank, i.e. Nets, Knicks, or whatever. I think as well, if you're making a comparison... Melo is basically a shitter Beasley who they already have and they're not playing. So unless you're like giving him just some money to sit on the bench, so you know LeBron has someone to talk to about some memes and songs on the bus, because you know Kyle Kuzma's
at
like
the end of the day, if it makes
younger.
LeBron happy, then I guess you want a happy LeBron on your team.
Yeah, maybe. Who
I guess
knows,
maybe.
But,
just one more thing.
Go.
If LeBron, if this deal does in some parallel universe happen. Carmelo comes in and starts balling. 15 points a game.
Oh, come on.
Decent. Decent percentages.
7 points a game would be good.
15 points a game. Decent percentages. Is not a... Like, defensively, he's still going to have his defensive woes. But you still keep him out there on a second unit because he can create for you offensively. And that's fine. 15 points a game off the bench is very, very good. Would that just not enhance LeBron's GOAT status?
That
like, he's brought Carmelo back from the dead?
Yeah. It'd be pretty.
See, I think that would be crazy, and none of it would be on Carmelo.
No,
if he starts playing well, it's like LeBron's amazing.
I mean,
LeBron's amazing.
Speaking of Nick, I got a good segue here. Kevin Durant's comments on LeBron indicate he's extremely unlikely to head to the Lakers in free agency. That's a segue. Bang.
That's how you do it, mate.
You want to hear the comments?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Via
why not? I've got nothing else to do.
Well, you probably didn't read the article. So, this is via Bleacher Report. Obviously, made the waves, was probably the topic early in the week, but we didn't discuss it, so it doesn't matter what anyone else said.
Mm-hmm.
So much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's something about basketball at certain points. So I get why everyone wouldn't want to be in that environment, because it's toxic. Nick, toxicity has been the name of our episode.
It has been before, yes.
Does LeBron bring toxicity to the Lakers, and would that not bring them Kevin Durant next year?
I think that playing with someone like LeBron James requires a certain person, of course.
Kevin Love just did... Bosch, Love, you look at all these guys, these established stars who just have to become, like, superstar role players. Only Dwayne Wade has been able to like remain himself. Kyrie as well. But even then, Kyrie got out because it's like, fuck LeBron, I'm sick of this shit. Mm.
It's a thankless job. Being a LeBron teammate, it is a thankless job. Your team does badly, you're the problem. Your team does good, you're not the reason.
You think this is some reverse psychology though? Like, it's like someone posted out like the a screenshot of LeBron in the Uber when he was with Kevin Durant. He's like, look, say this shit, and then we'll make people think that you're not coming when you're actually going to come. I mean, you take Kevin Durant's comments at face value because he generally is wholly honest, which is what we appreciate about him. A lot of people don't like it. I do like it about KD. Does it mean he's not going to the Lakers? I have trouble believing it. LeBron was asked about it, I think a couple of days ago, and he responded and he's like, look, I didn't see the comment. I can't comment on it. It'd be, you know, silly of me to comment on something that I haven't read. Nice little play by LeBron. He probably has seen it.
Oh, he would have, yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to discount the chances of getting, you know, probably the second best player in the game behind you. I'm not buying into... It's hard to go Twitter or Wiki with this.
Twixkies.
yeah, because it's... I still think that the Lakers are in with a chance. The Warriors are probably still the number one destination. You know, New York. The Nets, baby! We're doing some nice things. We beat the Knicks today.
Washington.
Oh, God.
He's coming home.
Oh, shit.
He's coming home.
Jesus Christ.
I am giving this one an alternative.
Oh, so you think this actually... It doesn't mean anything.
Wait, it's extremely unlikely to head to Lakers. Fact.
Okay, so he's not going.
Hashtag fact. I read this wrong. Yeah, I don't reckon he's going.
Clippers, maybe.
He joined a super team. He got a lot of flack for it, but I don't think he cares about the flack. I think it's more of a, hey, I've done this. Let's establish something on my own without the best player in basketball. That's the goal, to take down the best player in basketball.
Maybe.
The goal is to take down the best team in basketball.
But he was.
I think he's going to the Knicks.
I
still think that they're the front runner with Porzingis.
I'll go Clippers above them right now just because the Clippers are better. But Kevin Durant, you can't predict it. Speaking of unpredictability, yeah, it's pretty good. A little bit less than the first one, but it was a harder segue. Nick, we got some comments from Kyle Lowry early in the week. We'll play them for you, and then we'll go through what our next Music Manuel topic is.
How would you define your relationship with Masai Ujiri right now?
He's the president of basketball operations, and that's it. For me, I come out here and do my job.
That's an answer that leaves a lot of room for interpretation.
He does his job, I do my job, right? That's what you do.
That's where you guys stand.
That's where we stand.
That's where you stand, Jack. I stand with my feet.
I'm standing up.
Don't stand up. Sit down, Jack.
Okay.
God damn it.
Sorry. Would the comments be construed differently if he said that's where he sits?
He was sitting down in that interview.
So he wasn't standing.
I think we're reading too much into this.
The language is everything, Nicholas. We are very bad with our words, especially you on this podcast. Half the podcast names aren't actual real words that we've done. But what's the music manual for it anyway?
Kyle Lowry's comments on Masai Ujiri could hinder the Raptors' hopes of playoff success.
A lot of people don't think, but I can't help but think any distraction is a bad distraction. So for me, I'm going to give it a very, very minor Twitskies because I think despite the fact that Kyle Lowry isn't the number one guy, that is Kawhi Leonard, that anything that is tension within this franchise is going to have an effect at the...
That's not tension, though. You cannot talk to your bosses.
Yeah, but like it was... Obviously, everyone's seen the rest of the interview and the pretext to it. With him talking about, you know, how he felt betrayed with DeMar DeRozan and stuff. So, like, if you look at it in the fullest context, we have to condense it to, like, a 20-second soundbite because we are so good at condensing things. I just think that there is a little bit in it, which is why I'm giving it Twitskies or you Altskies.
I am definitely alternative fact. Not everything needs to be all, you know, hunky-dory daisies.
Hunky-dory daisies. Okay.
You know what I'm saying.
Hunky-dory.
Nothing needs to be happy. Look at Shaq and Kobe. They did not like each other.
Yeah, but that tension was what drove the Lakers, right? So I think the Raptors need everything to sort of be somewhat smooth sailing. And
he still loves this franchise. And that's what...
I think he loves it less. Like
I disagree.
But that's just my look. I might be looking into it too much. I mean, technically, I'm Kyle Lowry, yeah.
Mm.
So I know him better because you're DeMar DeRozan.
Yes, in our friendship,
we have friendship.
I mean, you're the crazy one, yeah. which is Kyle Lowry,
and he loves.
But I'm the better player.
Someone okay. No, to so for those who haven't seen the video, obviously just Google it or shut Twitter or YouTube. But a Twitter user dug even deeper than we did with the sitting and standing language. And they saw that Kyle Lowry was smirking quite consistently through it. So whether he was just trolling.
Body language is everything.
Maybe he was trolling, Nick. But I'm still going to give it a Twitskies. But, Nick, speaking of problems, Houston has more problems. Houston problems. than their Western Conference counterparts in the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams struggling big time. Who's struggling more? For me, it's Houston, so I'm going fact.
Yeah, fact.
Both are bad, though.
Like, it's the fall, though. That's what's bad about it. The fall
They've fallen off so hard off
exactly.
grace.
Exactly. No one saw this. I mean, not this bad.
Nah.
Not 14th in the West bad.
It's bad.
It bad. Houston Rockets?
Is bad.
They bad.
They bad.
yeah.
They 14th.
At least, or they were a couple of days ago.
You got the standings right in front of you, bro.
But this is the everyone's standings. It's the expanded standings.
Sure,
I don't think
can go down to conference.
I don't think they're... Yeah, it can go can
There
go
you
here.
Go.
They are 14th. They still are 14th. 11 and 13 gets you 14th in the West.
And
that sickens me.
And the Spurs are, funnily enough, 13th.
That absolutely sickens
me. So do you think...
That could be a lot worse. San Antonio got a nice win over the Lakers.
Yeah, that was a pretty good win. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it glossed over some of their issues, but do you think... Do you think either of these teams make the playoffs? It's getting hard.
It is extreme. I didn't think... See, this is the thing. You go back to my previous picks. I don't think I put the Clippers in. I didn't put the Grizzlies in.
I didn't
put the Blazers in, silly me.
I don't think I did either, yeah.
They're a great regular season team. That was an oversight on my behalf. Definitely didn't put the Kings in there.
Yeah.
So that's four teams that are currently in the playoffs. But you think
Dallas... Dallas on the fringes as well.
You think Dallas will...
Minnesota.
Dallas
be
are better than the Kings. So if the Kings are getting in, Dallas are getting in.
Yeah.
I still have faith in the T-Wolves. They've made a recent surge.
Utah,
I don't think are getting in.
Wow, it's a big call because I think Utah. We both had them like second or third.
I had them second.
I
have been completely wrong with all of my... If I look back at the standings from
Kevin
episode
Knox,
one,
baby!
I have been completely wrong on everything.
I think I had OKC
I put Toronto
second.
Fifth. I put the Wizards third.
You had them as high as second. Though my boy Cable Hoops did give you some credit on an episode of Full Access Hoops with him. So he was sort of... He backed you up a little bit. But... What for me, and I think most people would probably agree, the problem is Chris Paul. He has his fall from grace is like, you know, Grace is like 7 foot tall, and like he's fallen off her so
Grace
hard.
Is a tall lady.
She's a very tall woman, mate. She should be in the post for Houston as a backup center. He's been trash, bro. Like I don't know, you know, his point guard status has gone from point guard to point. What's some lesser deity or like non-known deity?
Disciple.
Point disciple. That's pretty good. Well done.
He now worships the new point god in...
Steph Curry?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll go with Steph. But yeah, give us some numbers. Like what his efficiency feels like it's gone down.
Yeah, 34% from three, 42% from the field.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I mean, his 80% free throw is bringing his effective field goal to 50%, which is like
that's
sort
of
dragging that up. I mean, the league average is 15.
But he's not an average
player.
But he
is not.
He's
exactly.
a star, exactly. And you're paying him superstar money.
He's still getting 16 points a game, though. That's not bad.
Look, it's not bad, but they need them. Like, James Harden is in the MVP, around the MVP conversation, but Chris Paul needs to be, like, his... like absolute Robin.
But it's not about... It's never been about Houston's offense. It's about their defense. They are atrocious right now. And San Antonio Spurs are worse.
Yep. They're both really
bad. Which is crazy.
Their defense is bad.
Okay, it needs to be is bad. It needs to be is bad. We've referenced it so many times.
We have. He wrote it down with the black...
But you know what? You know what's got to come up? If we do name the episode is bad, it's got to say episode 3.1, 3.9 is bad.
Well, I mean...
It could be.
It's probably not that great, to be honest.
But yeah, San Antonio Spurs are second last in defensive rating right now. A pop team is second last in defensive rating right now. They don't have nearly the defensive identity, and they lost was Kawhi and
Danny.
And yeah, Danny. Yeah. And Danny's been absolutely amazing for Toronto. Killing I mean, it. They both have.
They're both awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Houston are 25th in the league right now, but with an offensive rating of 110.
Yeah, I still think they're top 10.
Which ranks them 8th.
Yeah, so like they're still doing okay.
Like, offense is not the problem. Seeing Chris Paul put up 16 points isn't surprising. Seeing James Harden with his averages right now, he was leading the league in scoring maybe a couple of days ago, maybe last week.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
But like, yeah, it's the defense. They've completely lost their defensive identity. And it is so much harder to defend this year than it was to defend last year.
That's a fair call. Did you see Eric Gordon's comments from earlier in the week?
I did. Maybe, but I don't remember them.
Dude,
I remember him. I know. That's why I saw them, but I don't remember them.
Okay. While it loads, can you just waffle on about how shit both teams are? It's always there.
Yeah, I mean...
Never mind.
It's not a... Okay. Just cut me off, man. I was getting ready to start. That's fine.
Eric Gordon, I'm just not having fun, man. This
yes,
sucks.
That's right. Yeah,
even the times where I have good games, we're just not using some guys the right way. Are we going to make the right sacrifices? Do we have the right attitude?
Sounds like he's not getting... D'Antoni's not getting enough...
Did you see out of his players? The Jazz game, which I think was on ESPN as well. There was... You saw D'Antoni speaking to James Harden, Chris Paul, and he seemed to be befuddled. He had no idea what was going on. I put it down to the fact that he has no mustache anymore and he lost his powers. I put that on OTG Basketball.
It's like Samson and his hair.
Pretty much, mate. The Pringle Man, because he does look like the Pringle Man.
He does look like the Pringle Man.
Every single year, Mike D'Antoni should go as the Pringle Man and as a Pringle can. Just a different flavor. You start off with the best flavor, sour cream.
We're best flavor that is. I need to calm myself.
Another off topic. Pringles. We did chips. We haven't. We dig deep.
That hurt. That was. I literally just got stabbed in the heart when you said that. Keep going.
The Knicks and Lakers. Get your Knicks and Lakers. Nick would be foolish.
Feels.
To trade for John Wall. I know someone who is calling and is already incensed with such a take.
I mean, they called me just to tell me, hey, that's crazy.
Yeah!
I mean, I'd do it. Get rid of John Wall.
I was thinking, I'm like, are you... I don't know why it took me so long to process. I'm like, does Nick go for
it? It always interests me when people say, it's just like, when people ask, would you do that trade? But it doesn't matter whether the trade's good or bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for one person.
And the other one, it's...
Is good.
Is bad.
I mean, is bad. So, I mean, yeah. When people ask, it's like, would you do that trade? I'm like, well, if I was this team, I'd do it. But if I was this team, I wouldn't think of it, you know, not in a second chance thing. Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers could give you a better package if you're as a Wizards
Maybe
fan.
A three-way deal where we get Porzingis and LeBron.
God.
We give you John Wall. That essentially makes up for the two salaries right there. You can just do it like that. Oh, Knicks get no one.
They just lose
they
salary.
They just lose. They lost the salary of Porzingis. You're welcome, New York.
They don't have to pay him in free agency. I mean, the Lakers...
I'm good at this trade machine.
You are killing it, mate. ESPN needs to hire you right now. ESPN.com, hire us.
But of course they would be foolish to hire John Wall. Anyone in the league right now,
would be
unless
foolish.
You are in desperate... So even the
Pelicans
Suns,
probably.
Nah, see, I don't even think Pelicans and Suns would be crazy enough to sign a.
Oh, the Suns would be crazy
a
enough.
Player to a $45 million a year contract for the next 5 years.
It's a lot of money.
5 years, Jack.
$45 million.
That's $250 million. Close to.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I'm just envisioning.
And those two teams need point guards.
Yeah,
but it's. It's not worth it. You could probably draft a decent point guard.
Yeah, I mean, the value that John Wall is bringing right now, we talked about him on the Full Access Hoops player rankings pod. And I remember preseason when Corey and I were talking about him, we expected him to take a leap. But, you know, he barely got any votes from our writers. I think he got one. And, like, guys like, you know, Mike Conley were getting votes. And
it's a shame because his trade value is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
The lowest it has been since I would be willing to say his third year in the league.
Yeah.
and his contract is exorbitantly large.
Nice word, mate. Exorbitant. You're making up for it with like horrible analogies and comparisons. Metaphors.
My analogies are always bad.
Yep.
His analogies?
Is bad.
Are bad. Say are bad doesn't make sense.
You gotta say,
I mean, grammatically it is correct.
It's, but we're never grammatically.
Is bad.
We're not grammatically correct.
This plural is bad.
We're never grammatically correct on this podcast. So via Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce, the Denver Nuggets will make the Western Conference Finals. Let's hear Chauncey's comments.
Their ceiling is going to be Western Conference Finals this year. They have a chance. I mean,
what?
Wow. Possibly the second best team.
Wow.
In the Western Conference. I mean, I'm waiting. Name them.
Listen,
name
I said them. This. Nobody said this. No, I said this a couple weeks ago on ESPN that I think the Denver Nuggets will be in the Western Conference Finals.
They're
a great defensive team.
They're
a great rebounding team. And they have no egos. You got to understand, they play egoless basketball.
Denver Nuggets, Western Conference Finals, says Chauncey Billups.
Maybe.
You giving this a wiki?
Twiki.
Mate, you need to stop making the in-between Twitter a wiki.
Well, like you...
Be convictive.
You were talking
That's
about...
That's not a word.
You were talking... It might be. You were talking
Have
about...
Have some conviction. That's what I was there supposed to say.
You were talking about freaking mystic balls before you introduced it. So I can
foresee the future.
Will
they make the Western Conference Final? Gaze deep in
I
the
I think
ball.
It's going to be about... Don't tell me to do anything with balls. I don't... I think it's going to be about timing with all of the Western Conference teams. Put your eyebrows down, you fuck. I think it's...
Add the other one.
I think it's literally for the Western Conference teams. It's going to be about timing. I think right now it's OKC and Denver that are sort of in a tier of their own. And then you can include, you know, teams like the Clippers, Portland, Memphis, Utah are sort of on the come up.
It's funny to say Utah are sort of on the come up when they're 11th.
Yeah.
But they were 14th. But that's like a matter of... Two wins.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, so I think literally it will be timing. Who is the healthiest at the pointy end of the season? Who is in the best form? Denver have an opportunity to be in that conversation, which is why I'm giving it some credence. But, I think I had OKC in the top four as well, and I might, bat myself in with them, because they've been awesome defensively, and I think that they still have a ways to go in terms of integrating everything. And I think Paul George has been awesome, so... who do you think has the best shot?
Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, wow, hot take, mate.
No, I honestly believe that the Lakers, because they've been
okay,
better.
Okay, yeah, I forgot to even mention them. Yeah.
They've been better than I thought there was, and LeBron in the playoffs is a different animal.
Yeah.
This is the first time Denver have been to the playoffs in how many years?
Four or five,
Many
maybe.
Years.
Many.
Many years. The first time a lot of these players are facing playoffs. I think we'll see... Their ceiling might be Western Conference
Finals. I think
final.
Their ceiling is Western Conference playoffs.
But they won't get there.
Okay.
Wizards' ceiling was second.
You're already ruling out the fact that they won't make it.
I don't think they'll make it.
Okay.
Not Western Conference Finals.
There's
no.
another
so sound... So this is an alternative fact.
There's a soundbite for us. What else do we have to speak about?
Okay, we'll get to the next one. So the next one here, Joel Embiid, mate.
Yeah,
been balling,
killing it. He's out, obviously, due to some precautionary reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But is he an MVP contender?
He's been an MVP contender for a long while now. Good old Joel, just Americanized his name.
Jesus Christ,
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, cool, mate. Mark, my boy Marky Mark was putting out a piece for a week or so ago for OGDBasketball.com and said, can Joel Embiid win MVP this season? He did advocate for it. I think his numbers have been awesome. Mm-hmm. I think he's still the best player on the Sixers right now.
26-13.
Insane numbers. Mm-hmm. Absolutely insane numbers. And the Sixers are a very good team. And, you know, he was out and Jimmy Butler has stepped up in his absence. Can he win it? I don't think... No. So I'm going to go with the full take here. I'm going to go alternative because I think it's almost Giannis's award, LeBron's award, Kawhi's award. It's very unlikely that a big man's going to get it. Unless you count Anthony Davis to an extent. Like, Shaq...
How tall is Embiid? 7 foot?
Yeah.
He's 7 foot.
Yeah.
How tall is Giannis?
6'9". Probably like
six. No, he'd be close to 6'11". I'm looking it up.
Okay, cool. But he doesn't play center. Let's put it that way. He's not going to win it.
He plays more in the center, in the key.
Yeah.
Than Joel Embiid does. But he's not. Embiid does.
He's not a traditional center though.
He's as traditional as you're going to get these days.
Okay, yeah.
For a beast center, he's as traditional as you'll get.
Yes. What, Joel Embiid?
No.
Giannis. Joel Embiid is a traditional center. He's like old school, like Hakeem style, which is why...
Who's shooting 30% from... 30% from three isn't great.
That's actually awesome for me, because he was at like 15%
at
one stage.
That's what I mean. Like, you get Giannis, who 70% of his points... are in the paint.
I would have him like probably scraping the conversation. Like by the end of the season, I think Steph, LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi are going to be my four battling it out.
If the Sixers had a better, Sixers are second in the East.
That's
right
what I
now.
Mean. Like I don't think he like pushes them. He pushes himself into the conversation unless the Sixers somehow finish first, because he's the best player on the best team. And I don't see that happening because Toronto have probably the best player in the conference. You can argue with Giannis as well. So for me, yeah, he's the third best player in the conference. So he's not even, you know, the best player in his own conference. So I don't know how he can win MVP.
What's interesting is that he's saying for the past few weeks, he has not felt himself.
Which is why he took the game off.
Yeah.
Against Detroit.
He feels like he's being underutilized in how he plays. I don't think he likes playing perimeter. There's been a lot of this stuff. He seems a bit unhappy. He is averaging the same amount of points, more rebounds than Giannis, with a better record. You tell me why Joel Embiid is behind, like, reasonably behind Giannis.
It's a fair call, mate. I just don't think by the end of the season he's going to be there. I'm sort of forecasting ahead.
Yeah, okay.
I think Embiid hasn't peaked early, because I think it's more on the Sixers stuff, and we could have an entire podcast about the Sixers training stuff and how they manage their players. Mm-hmm. But I think I always think that durability and availability is a huge skill when it comes to the MVP race. If, you know, he misses 10 games or whatever, Steph has already missed his 10 games or whatever, Steph has been better. And for me... If Steph is healthy for the entire season, he's winning the MVP.
If Steph has played, 90% of... and he still Golden might. State's game. I mean, like, he still might, yeah. He's an MVP for me as well.
He's been great so far. But for me, I don't know. I think Giannis is non-traditional in how he has impacted the game in so many weird...
He is certainly a more impactful player. And that's what I will give Giannis. So the stats might be the same, but Giannis's impact on the Bucks is bigger than Joel's impact on the Sixers. I believe.
Yeah.
That is sheer eye test.
Yeah.
What Giannis can do is incredible. But I think there's a lot of people who will look at the stats and look at the records and give Joel Embiid a lot of votes.
It's a pretty wide open race, MVP. Like last season, it was like two players.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's fun to see, like, a lot of these awards. Do we want to play the Joel Embiid for the story? So Joel Embiid, early in the week on, I believe, the ESPN broadcast, said that he almost gave up basketball, so we thought it would be relevant to the conversation, and obviously the NBA world would be worse without him, so we'll let Joel regale you guys with his story.
Oh yeah, after my first year, when I found out that I needed a second surgery, and that was at the time that my brother had just died too. So to me, in my head, I was like, what am I even doing here? Like, I have 1 year of salary under my belt, and that's enough to go back to Cameroon and live with it. Because also I hadn't seen my brother for a long time, for about 3 or 4 years, so it was really painful. So I thought about quitting. Basketball wasn't working. me and injuries, and that was really the first time I had a surgery. So, and then to do it again the second time, it was just bad. It was just a bad feeling, and I thought about quitting. But one thing that pushed me was, being patient, and my brother also, and being from Africa, because at the end of the day, you come here, you want to make an impact, and share your story with everybody, and so it kind of pushes everybody back home or in the whole continent to want to do the same thing.
Well said there, Joel.
Thank God for Joel.
Yes, social media king.
Yeah,
I believe. So yes, well, the NBA world would be a lot more gloomy without him in the league. So
to a former teammate, Nicholas.
Just give him MVP right now. Not this guy, but to a former teammate.
Bang.
Robert Covington.
Yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Well, is he a Defensive Player of the Year contender?
Yeah. Bloody oath.
Of course he is.
What sort of
thing is this, Jack? What sort of crap did you put together here?
Well,
of course he is.
It's better than the crap you come up with, which is nothing. Without me, we wouldn't have a podcast. We wouldn't have content. He is first in defensive real plus minus on ESPN in front of Marc Gasol, who is second, who I also think is a defensive player of the year candidate.
Got on Marky Mark?
Yeah, don't call him Marky Mark.
But with a C, not a K.
Yeah, cool.
So, Marcy Mars.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
A strange man.
You are a very strange man. His defense is not bad.
It's not bad. He's leading the league in steals right now, 2.2.
Yeah, he. I mean, you compare him to a Jimmy Butler, and I think he is a much better team defender than Jimmy Butler. He's not as fantastic as a one-on-one man defender, but you take all things into account and how he's sort of fitting in. He's like the perfect Tibbs guy, playing like 47 minutes and a half per night. And he's been able to make the Timberwolves a capable defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also seeped through to guys like Andrew Wiggins, who's been okay as of late, but as well as Karl Anthony Towns. So I certainly think he is. Is he winning it, Nick?
Is he winning
Defensive Player of the Year right now?
I think I'm still a huge
Davis,
I guess, yeah, believer of Anthony Davis. Even Giannis can have his...
Yeah, Giannis is pretty good.
It's just these big guys that can just absolutely boss the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, Rudy Gobert's like, it's sort of fallen out of favor.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
But the Giannises of the world, you're...
Joel Embiid would probably be there a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Like the three MVP... MVP...
Kawhi's been awesome.
People, yeah. Well, Kawhi is always awesome. So I think Robert Covington definitely has his hand in the ring.
Yeah.
And it is close. But I still think Anthony Davis for me, because he was so close last year as well.
Yeah.
So he's got that sort of going on. The momentum. There thank you. That's physics great. Man, momentum, mass times velocity.
How did... Oh, okay. Jesus Christ, mate.
I really know how to kill a boot.
In terms of other wing defenders, I'll chuck in a name. Paul George, I think, deserves to be around that conversation because...
Definitely.
If you are the best defender on the best defensive team, surely you should get your name in the ring. So, yeah, he's certainly in there. It's somewhat of a Royal Rumble style because there are plenty of candidates. And, this is being done without Andre Roberson. And Steven Adams has been bloody good as well. I think...
Like I alluded to before...
You're just proud when you use a word that's bigger than five letters, don't you?
Alluded to. What's wrong with that?
No, I like it. I'm just okay. You just give me a smirk when you use it. I'm just like, bro.
Are you impressed?
Alluded to. Wow. I use that like in every article I write.
Yeah. I cannot even remember what I was going to say. Before.
Something about Steven Adams? I talked about
it. Well, yeah. Like I was alluding to before, it's a lot close. It's a very, very close
race.
Exactly. I've got the on off numbers here for. Robert Covington. I haven't checked these, so this could bite me in the bum.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that the T-Wolves, as soon as it loads, will be a better defensive. I am expanding every single word so that it...
Well, you
here,
cannot.
Here it is.
There we
okay.
go.
Yeah, not surprising. They are seven. There's a 7-point differential in defensive rating when he's on and off the court.
bang. It's
98 defensive rating when he's on the court.
That'd be easily That's first.
Yeah, that is impressive.
So, Rocco's certainly there, Nick. Give me a little bit of... No, we'll go to Paul George first because we were on that and it makes for a better segue. Paul George is more important for OKC's success than Russell Westbrook.
I think he's been better this year.
I think he has as well, but he's also been more healthy. But I'm talking more in the broad sense. I'm going to fact because... I think you know what you get from Russell Westbrook. It's near triple-doubles every night.
Yep.
And how that impacts...
More of a... Because you'll find that your X factor, your barometer of your team, is not your star player.
I would argue that with Stephen Curry and the Warriors and Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. But it's like, when I see...
It's a team to... It's, it goes by team to team. Like, you could argue that, you know, Robert Covington's more important than Carl Anthony Towns, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between most, like, being an important member of the team and... your barometer of your team.
Yeah.
So, because of the consistency of these stars, you'll know what you get from Russell Westbrook. He might have a poor shooting game, whatever. He'll probably still get you 20 points.
Yeah.
And he'll rack up assists, he'll rack up rebounds. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Players like Paul George, who can go ice cold, who can get you 13 points,
yeah,
and that's a poor showing,
yeah,
or can go off for 44 and get you a win.
Yep.
And points. It's those players that tend to determine whether you win or lose a game.
And we saw that in the playoffs last season, you know, against Utah and stuff, where Paul George was cold, the entire team was cold. When he was hot, the entire team was hot. So for me, I think other people might have discussed this. Funnily enough, the starters talked about this, the episode, like the day of their new episode. And I had this on my dock and I'm just like, God damn it. I'm too plugged in. I'm not producing the starters, obviously. Can the starter sponsor us?
I mean, why would they?
Yeah.
Really, why would they?
They have an Australian, that's why. But yeah, what do you... I'm fact as it can get with this.
Yeah, I'm tending towards the fact, because definitely this year, Paul George has been a lot more important to OKC.
Both sides of the floor as well.
Yeah, definitely. His defensive gravitas.
Oh,
I am killing it.
Far out. The words today. Jesus Christ. Guys, if we have any super fans out there, just list all the awesome words that Nick has said.
His gravitas on defense is cannot be outstated. Understated. See, I do that and I screw it up. I screw everything up. All my good work.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
There's another soundbite for you, mate. There's a couple of soundbites there for us. But DeMontis, who's messaging us?
It's all right.
Paul
worry.
George is defensive. Okay, whatever. DeMontis Sabonis is the Pacers' long-term big man. Him and Miles Turner. Milesy Miles. MT.
I mean, Miles Turner has been the sort of plan for a long while now.
Got that four-year, $64
million
exactly. contract.
Sabonis was sort of fell in their lap, really.
Yeah.
With the Oladipo trade. I mean, that was the main piece for Paul George. And they got huge impact from Sabonis in that first year, and he's only increased on that. Like, is, I mean, I've been told, I didn't watch his father, that he's like a spitting image of his dad and the way his dad used to play and the efficiencies.
Yeah,
he's 64% from the field right now.
He's definitely in.
He has a 24 PER.
Yeah, he's
because when he gets the ball, he scores.
He's so ridiculously efficient off the bench, like. I would certainly have him in my sixth man of the year conversation. As a starter, does that change? Maybe. But I always reflect on, like, I think we might have touched on this topic at times before. But I see a similar situation with sort of like D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, both very, very talented players, but who is your number one guy? Like, it's hard to determine. Are they both going to feed off each other? Miles Turner has more upside, but he isn't as consistent as a Sabonis.
Yeah, definitely. And Sabonis is your stalwart workhorse who, again, like, you know what you're getting. His consistency on the floor is tremendous, whereas Miles Turner, like you said, bigger upside, greater potential, greater ceiling, but greater floor too.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways. I just want to throw this in here, mate.
Go for it.
Sabonis is shooting 83% from three.
That's... No, he's not.
I'm looking at it right now, mate.
Okay.
83% from three.
Okay.
You know why? Because he shoots 0.2 a game. He shoots 0.3 a game and makes 0.2 a game.
How many is he taking in total? Just scroll down to the
totals. Oh, mate. Okay, I'll have to scroll down.
Totals for the season.
Totals 3.5
or 6.
He's hit 5 or 6 for the year.
In 23 games. Solid.
83% from the field.
Very good, mate. Let's get to our awards and such. JB team.
JB team of the week.
Yes, welcome to the JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position over the week just gone. Taking the point guard spot, none other than Steph Curry. Steph Curry had it all working against the Cavs, and he proved that he's officially back from his 11-game absence. Curry hit 9 threes and finished with 42 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists for the win. FTW.
Yeah.
Shooting guard. DeMar DeRozan, well done there. Got off to a rough start against the Blazers, but he caught fire in the third quarter and led Spurs to victory. He poured in 18 of his 36 points in the third quarter and added 8 rebounds and 6 assists there. DeMar coming up to clutch. That was bad.
Yep.
Small forward, Paul George, scored 25 of his 47 points in a sensational fourth quarter, including a go-ahead three with 3.1 seconds left. It gave OKC the victory against the Nets.
Yeah, cool.
Atrocious defense.
Yep.
On that last play,
not
but
great.
Whatever. He finished the night with 42 points as well as notching 6 assists, 5 rebounds.
Nah, 15 rebounds, bro.
He racked up 15 rebounds, 4 assists.
There you go.
And a block to go with their outrageous scoring night. My brain's not working today. Power forward.
Not.
LeBron James, LeGoat, Adrian Formato. Scored all 20 of his fourth quarter points in the final 9.5 minutes, going 7 of 8 from the field and 3 three-pointers to lead the Lakers to a comeback win over the Spurs. He finished the night with 42 points as well as notching 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. I watched that game at work.
Oh, yeah.
Those 2 deep threes were just magic.
Yeah.
Magnificent. At the center spot, Anthony Davis had yet another stellar performance on Sunday to lead the Pelicans past the Hornets. The big man finished with 36 points, 19 rebounds, 8 assists, and a highly efficient 14 of 19 from the field. So congratulations there to our JB Team of the Week.
Yep.
Nominees. Not really nominees. They're inductees. Yes. Inductees.
Cool.
Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
For those who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances. One vote goes to D'Anthony Melton. Do you even know who that is, Nick?
I do not.
Cool. He had 21 points, 9 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal in 23 minutes.
Where did he go in the draft?
He was a second rounder.
That's probably why I don't know him.
And he went from Houston to Phoenix in a trade.
There you go.
Nice little player. In Tuesday's 122-105 loss to the Kings. The Don.
Is good.
Well, his performance today could have gone in, but he also finished the 111-102 win at Dallas win with 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, while hitting a pair of threes earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And Sexy Sexton. Against your boys, the Wiz Nation.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton tied his career high with 29 points, also dished out 6 assists, which was another career high, and pulled out 3 boards and 2 steals in 40 minutes in a dominant win over Washington.
Yay!
Do we have time for off-topic a little bit?
Yeah, we've got time for a little bit off-topic.
Press the music.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What
the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Okay, we'll make this a relatively short off topic this week. Thanks to the new arrival of the Smash Brothers game.
You mentioned it earlier, mate.
I did.
Let's get right to it.
What are your favorite players?
I'm always Kirby. And, like, if, like, someone else's Kirby...
See, Kirby was, like, OG. Yeah. Kirby's, like 64 that, Kirby was one of the
best. That's the only Smash Brothers that I've played.
So you haven't grown up with the Smash.
Right?
You merely adopted the Smash.
All right, this guy.
I was born in it. So I didn't play Melee, which was the GameCube one.
Right.
But I played the one on Wii, the one on Wii U. I think they re-released it, but the one on Wii U, the one on 3DS,
yep.
which was the same as the Wii U one, and now I've got the Switch one. So I've played a lot of Smash.
You have.
Fox is my man.
You've smashed a lot.
Fox is my man. Love the deflector shield. Actually, gets yeah. a lot get people off guard.
Does he still have the gun?
He still has the gun, but it's weak. It's weak. Oh. It's very weak.
Okay.
It only gives like 2-3% every shot. That's pretty bad. Like maybe like 1.5.
That's why I liked Kirby always in 64, because you like do like her big carry move and then like her big smash down move.
Yeah, the sword where she like yeah. the up B.
Yeah.
Just sword up and then smash
she
down.
Just like destroys people.
The brick. Was very interesting. Her down B, she turns into a brick.
Down B was insane.
And that would catch a lot of people off guard as well. Because you'd just be above them. You'd be waiting with your up A.
Yeah.
And then bam!
Bang!
Brick just straight on top of you. My brother was always Samus. So Samus was...
the big like, ball, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Had the massive energy ball, energy gun. And you'd charge it up. And that's why I always played Fox.
Okay.
Because he'd use that big gun on me. I'd just deflect it straight back at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're talking like old school, the original ones. Fox was my man.
I love me a Falcon Punch.
Oh, Captain Falcon. He was strong.
I just like him saying Falcon Punch.
Falcon Punch!
Falcon Punch! What's your favorite levels on the old school one? I love the Pokemon one.
I like Kirby's Dream Land. I mean, you probably heard it on this podcast just then.
Yeah.
It's my ringtone.
Yep.
So when you heard Kirby's Dream Land, that was my phone ringing.
Yeah.
So I love that one. It was a small, compact course with not too much going on, and that's what I liked, except you had that tree blowing in either way, so it gave a little bit of diversity.
Is there still in the newer ones, like the sledgehammer, where you kill them straight away?
Yeah, the hammer. Yeah, that's still an item.
Wow. And Pokeballs?
Yep. There are so many new items in this
cool,
one.
Cool, cool.
There's like five different sort of swords. There's like, ever since the Wii one, they've brought out assist trophies.
Okay.
So like you use this assist, you essentially get another champion.
Oh, wow.
It's computer. And like some of the assist trophies are so broken. Like they are just so ridiculously strong. And that's what annoys me. Because it's like, it's a similar thing with Mario Kart.
Yeah.
A lot of it's not down to the skill of the player. Completely RNG.
Yeah, it's luck.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate getting... like, when I was playing at that workplace, I got shot, like, on the line with, like, a red shell so consistently. Your brother's done it to me.
Yeah.
And, like, you should not get a red shell if you're coming second or third in the last lap.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Exactly. Like, if I get hit by a green, fair enough. Like, that was a good shot.
Yeah, it's random.
That's a good shot.
Yeah.
But the reds that home the heat the seeking ones that's bull crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you can like a match can be decided in Super Smash by the items that you get.
Yeah, true.
And so like I was playing with my brother before, and I'd like to think I'm a better player than him. but like you get lucky with items sometimes.
You do.
But
such is life, Nicholas. Sometimes you just get lucky.
Sometimes you just get
with
lucky
with certain items.
Yes.
Think of that what you will. Let's end on that.
That's very profound. All right. It just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. Yeah, you can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review there as well. That'll help us out a heap. Get a lot more people listening to the pod, so we appreciate that. Remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.